Skagway officials host another informational session on the White Pass Tidelands lease. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Greta Mart. Those stories and more up next. This week, Skagway officials hosted a second informational session on the pending Tidelands lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. On Monday evening, elected officials lined the AB Hall's assembly room walls with poster-sized printouts of lease details and laid out a buffet of snacks. The session was called an open house. Mayor Mark Schaefer and Assembly members Dan Henry and Steve Burnham Jr. served as host, but there was no formal presentation or group discussion about the lease. Here's Burnham.
The idea is to just put the information that we have out to the public so they can review the information. It's as accurate as we could muster, and it'll allow people to formulate questions, talk amongst themselves, make informed decisions about whether they're pro-lease or against the lease.
I'm here to get the straight information on the project as opposed to what you hear in the coffee shops.
Resident Carl Mulvihill says there's a lot of confusion in the community over the lease.
Because there's basically four different projects involved in this thing, and people are mixing them all together.
At the start of the meeting, roughly 50 people stopped by to learn more, but an hour later, attendance dwindled to officials and a handful of residents. Andrew Cremata said he came to learn more about the Gateway Project and how it's related to the Tidelands lease.
I think a lot of the onus for the White Pass lease was so that state money could be gathered together for the Gateway Project. But until we know what the Gateway Project is and how much it's going to cost and what benefit it's going to have to the community, I'm curious as to why we're jumping the gun on the White Pass lease.
The company that owns the railroad also owns a large section of waterfront land, tidelands, and docks at Skagway's port. Since 2009, Skagway elected officials have been negotiating a new lease of the tidelands so that the municipality can move forward on contamination remediation and port improvements, called the Gateway Project. The lease is going to a public vote because municipal code says that any lease that brings in $5 million or more to city coffers must be approved by voters. At the first Tidelands lease informational session held in July, officials gave a PowerPoint presentation and audience members asked questions as a group moderated by the borough manager. That meeting grew heated at times as attendees questioned the agreement's value to taxpayers. On Monday, several attendees said they didn't think the open house format provided sufficient information about the lease. Dennis Corrington called it a meaningless PR stunt. Jeff Brady said over the next month he wants the municipality to provide comprehensive details.
And I hope they answer every single question. Don't just lump them into different topics or anything. They need to get out there and answer every single question. And then there also needs to be a proper debate forum.
Brady says he thinks the proposed lease is of the utmost importance to Skagway.
It's the future of our port, and the citizens are getting a lot back through this proposal, but it's a question whether it's enough to keep what has been called the Skagway advantage in terms of making the port attractive, and that's the biggest issue with me.
Assemblymember Dan Henry says there is confusion over the revenue to the municipality outlined in the new lease. He says that the White Pass lease is not intended to replace municipal income such as property sales and excise taxes.
They are just in a lease agreement with the city, no differently than AML, Temsco, Petromarine, Ada, Jewel Gardens, Skagway Fish Company, Pescaritos, Pullen Creek RV Park. They're all city leases. And the city is, like any other city, trying to facilitate business, which is what government's role is.
Henry says it's unfair to expect the White Pass lease to bring in more revenue.
I suppose if your viewpoint is that somehow the city should be gutting White Pass relative to what they think their revenue stream is from operating those two docks that they built, I suppose then what we should be doing, if we do that to one, we certainly should be doing it to them all. We're going to then go to everybody else that we have leases with and tell them to open up their books, and we want a chunk.
The complete draft Tidelands lease can be found on the Skagway Borough website under the documents section. ¶¶ A preschool will soon start at Klukwan School. The State Department of Education recently approved a $30,000 grant to fund the preschool. That follows another grant from the state last year that helped the school form a playgroup for 3 to 4 year olds. This year's grant will help make that playgroup into a formal preschool, according to teacher Kathy Carl. Klukwan is part of Chatham School District, which spans 4 small southeast communities. Superintendent Bernie Grieve said last spring that a preschool could help boost enrollment at Klukwan School.
I mean, that would be awesome if we could. To me, it's like whatever, you know, opportunities that we can give, you know, students and parents, you know, eventually, you know, I'm thinking it'll help keep the school open.
Teacher Carl says the tentative schedule for the preschool is Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 3 p.m. The school is currently advertising for a teacher. Carl says they hope to start the preschool September 22nd. For K through 12 Klukwan students, the first day of school was Tuesday. We'll have more on Klukwan's new school year next week. A Haines resident spent time in Sitka last week after the landslides that killed 3 men. She says the experience gave her insight on how Haines can be more prepared when the unthinkable happens. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Sitting in the sunshine in Haines on Wednesday morning, longtime American Red Cross volunteer Linda Giese remembers the rain in Sitka. Giese was one of many volunteers that helped out with the relief efforts in the aftermath of the devastating landslides that killed 3 residents. She arrived with other volunteers on the day the slides hit and got to work setting up operations at the Grace Harbor Church.
We were there on hand to do whatever we could. Everything that needed to be done, did a lot of hand-holding with the families that were there waiting for individual, waiting for any kind of response from the teams that were on the hillside already.
Earlier this week, crews in Sitka recovered the body of 62-year-old city official William Stortz, who died in the landslide. The bodies of the other 2 slide victims, Elmer and Ulysses Diaz, were recovered last week. The brothers were in their mid-20s. Giese has been with the Red Cross for 33 years and is a disaster action team member. She has rushed to aid those in need after 9/11, as well as Hurricanes Rita and Katrina. But in a way, she says, working in Sitka was harder.
It is because it's Alaskans responding to Alaskans.
But it's a labor of love, she says, and she couldn't imagine it any other way.
So when the fire department calls me or the police department and says, we need you now, I appear like magic, if available.
For Red Cross volunteers, dealing with tragedies and people in severe emotional distress can take its toll. But Giese says volunteers are trained to keep their own feelings separated from those living the disaster.
We absorb it, we learn from it, we carry it away with us, and then we debrief it and go back to our real lives.
It's becoming an emotional burden on you as the volunteer, and how to identify that, and then how to take appropriate action.
That's Juneau resident Andrew Bogar. He's a disaster specialist for the Red Cross and was in Sitka for 5 days. He says handling emotional crisis before and after a disaster is part of the volunteer training. As for Giese, she also used the experience in Sitka to learn how Haines could get more prepared when disaster strikes. She says that Haines needs more volunteers to step forward.
We have found that our little small community is not prepared in many ways. We have a wonderful fire department, a wonderful, exceptional police department. We also have a lot of volunteer organizations. So in time of disaster, we would call upon most of those as resources. And unfortunately, we would have to bring in other people.
Bogar agrees that residents and communities need to be prepared. He suggests making a kit that includes clothes, water, food, and first aid supplies, and letting neighbors and friends know what your plan is should a disaster strike. Donations are still being accepted for Sitka through the Red Cross and other charities, but Bogar says the thing the community needs more than anything is money.
Because what they can do is they can donate money through the Red Cross, and for us, you can donate online or you can send a check to the office in Anchorage, but in the bottom, make sure they annotate for Sitka.
Locally, the Red Cross is looking for supplies, everything from shampoo and laundry soap to monetary contributions. Those interested in helping can call Giese at 723-8118. Giese had to hurry off to her next Red Cross engagement on Wednesday, but before she did, she praised Sitkins for their resiliency and strong sense of community. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Greta Mart. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.